Welcome to Compliance Perspectives. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. I'm joined all the way from London by Christy Granthart, the founder of Spark Compliance and author of How to Be a Wildly Effective Compliance Officer. Before launching Spark Compliance, Christy was a chief compliance officer at United International Pictures, which is the joint distribution company for Paramount Pictures and Universal Pictures in 65 countries. Christy, first of all, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. And today we're going to be talking about the role that strategy planning and careful goal setting play in compliance. So, Christy, let me start at the beginning, which is, to my mind, the last of the three, which is goal setting. What do you think are realistic goals for a compliance program? The ideal, of course, is no incidents, but, you know, as long as there are people, there will be incidents, of course. I think it's going to take till everything is run by robots before there's no incidents, and I think even then one robot will try and figure out how to cheat. What do you think is a real goal to have?
I think that because you can't control people, truthfully, and I think that any time you try to set goals around what other people will do, the likelihood is you'll fail. I think the first thing is that your goals need to be mostly within your control, because then you can more likely achieve them if you are the one who has set them and that you've set them in a way that you know that you can achieve them. So I think that the way that I set them up when I'm working with clients or when I was a chief compliance officer is really looking at, you know, the seven elements of the federal sentencing guidelines or in similar ways what they're doing in the UK or the OECD guidelines and saying, okay, for each one of these areas of my program, what can I accomplish this year? What are my three-year goals? To get there, how do I make this month work? But I think the most important thing is finding goals that you can accomplish and that you can be driven to match and to meet.
Yeah, and I think it's a great point you make of focusing on the ones that you can control, because, you know, you're right. Just as compliance isn't ultimately responsible for the company complying, it's up to the business unit what they in fact do. I think you need to do some goals that really make sense of you that are under your control. So what are some of the specific ones? I mean, you know, a lot of organizations, for example, have percent completion of compliance training courses. Is that a good one, do you think? What are some of the other ones that you think organizations should have?
Sure. Well, I think that you should have goals in every one of your areas. So I think that from a training perspective, having a set number of either sites you're going to visit or countries you're going to visit in person, how many in-person trainings or web trainings you're going to do, that's always a really good one, because not only do you need to do training, but it's helpful to keep you on course for where you're going. But I think things like numbers of communications. So maybe you make a goal that the CEO will do at least one communication and you'll have two others that go out over the course of the year. So you can plan that. You can say, right, the CEO is going to do something for Compliance and Ethics Day, and that's in April, and we'll do something on the gifts and hospitality policy when it's getting closer to Christmas, Hanukkah, that time of year. So I think that you can look at all the different areas of your program. So for your governance section, how much communication are you having with your board, your C-suite, your managers, trying to regulate that. So maybe you have a monthly compliance dashboard that you're sending to them so they get a sense of what you're doing, and that can help you to see how well you are accomplishing your goals throughout the course of the year. Maybe this year you need to update your conflicts of interest policy or get your anti-bribery procedures written down. Whatever it is, I think that when you look at it as, I've got these seven areas I need to cover, what can I do in each one of these spaces, and then plot out over the course of the year when you're going to get that done so that everything you've said you're going to accomplish, you do.
That's great. Now, let's talk about sort of the flip side. Are there any goals that you think are counterproductive to set?
The one that you started with, I don't want any incidents, or
right.
The other ones that get you in real trouble is when you've created a stretch goal and then you have a crisis. if that happens, you really must go back and redo your goals. I think that a lot of compliance officers get really excited about what it is they're going to accomplish this year, and then they have a data breach or they have a meltdown or an investigation. And you really owe it to yourself to go back to your board or your C-suite or whomever you've set the goals to say, look, you know, we're handling something really hard. I've reframed my goals. I want to do it slightly differently. And I think at that point, you get their re-buy-in for the new goals based on where you are. If you don't change them, when you know you're not going to accomplish them, you end up in a really bad situation where people may still have expectations of you because they don't know what it takes to deal with a data breach or how much time this regulatory investigation will take, that you need to make sure your communication is pretty consistent so that everyone is expecting the same thing of you.
And that does raise a really good point, which is no matter what your goals are, communicating them up, down, sideways is going to be incredibly important. You know, one of the ones that sometimes the goals are kind of hard to figure out. I mean, you know, one of the ones that comes up along is helpline calls. There's an argument that says more of them is a good thing. Less of them is a good thing is the other side of the equation. You know, more means they're calling, they see it as a resource. Less could mean that there's less problems. But, you know, how do you recommend people puzzle through those, or in some things, like, you know, in the case of helpline calls, is it really sort of toxic to try and set a goal in that area?
My personal opinion is that the metrics around helpline calls are pretty worthless because of exactly what you just said. Is it good or bad if we get more? I think the kind of goal I would set around that is, can we implement a consistent process? Can we implement the type of tracking that allows us to think about, okay, we've had 8 fraud cases in Brazil. Clearly, we need to do better training there, or we need to root out what manager is creating this bad culture that's allowing this fraud to happen. Whatever it is, that your goals then are around how you're dealing with problems, how you're rooting out root cause, and consistency in things like your investigation reports are finished and in the right place. I think that those types of goals that have more to do with process and understanding your root cause is much more effective than trying to have some specific metrics goal that, frankly, again, you can't control that. You can't control how many people call your hotline. You can't control if no one in Europe or Asia has ever called, or if they will call. You can't change culture in that respect. So I think that you need to make goals that really make sense for you. And what you can control is process and procedure and consistency.
Yeah, and to that point, I think one of the things that I think probably is, and you can argue with me on this, obviously, is a reasonable goal is to say, for example, that how much time it takes you on average to close an investigation based on an allegation to the helpline is something that is a reasonable goal. Yeah?
I think that if you do that over a swathe of time, so let's say that if, mm-hmm. particularly if you know that yours are dragging on and they shouldn't be, so maybe you have an aim to close out every case where it's reasonable to within 2 weeks, or to maybe you have the initial investigation period over that time frame. Complex investigations can take years, and they just can, particularly if you end up with a works council issue or employee litigation during the middle of it. So I think that, but your bread and butter everyday case, I think that you absolutely can have a goal for how quickly those can be disposed of so that you can make sure that you're running your program smoothly and effectively, and that employees don't end up in limbo wondering what's happening.
Right. Good point. Let's move on to strategy. What do you think makes for good or for bad strategy?
I think number one is having one. I think, truthfully, though, I mean, the number of people and clients that I've worked with where the poor compliance officer is so busy fighting fires all the time that they haven't really, he or she hasn't really thought about what's the longer-term strategy. You know, what are my 3-year goals? How do I make those my 1-year goal? What do I do with my monthly communications about what I'm doing? And the problem is, if you don't set your strategy, your board or your C-suite is going to set it for you, and they may not even tell you what it is, because if you haven't set it out with them and gotten their approval, buy-in, belief in where you're going, what happens is they will, and maybe there's 8 members of your board, they all have a different vision for what you were supposed to do, and no one told you. So I've seen person after person end up really disheartened and feeling pretty terrible about what they've done, because they're not being appreciated. And one of the reasons they're not appreciated is because they haven't had that conversation. What do you think is important? Here's what I think is important. Can we agree on this? Maybe this year you're really concerned about data privacy because of the new European data protection law, but your board doesn't really think that's where you should be focused. And so if you haven't had that strategy conversation and gotten alignment on that, you may be chasing down a rabbit hole they don't think you should be in, and now you've got all this work done, but your strategies didn't align or you didn't have one, and it can really create a bad environment. Whereas if you have a strategy, you've vetted it, you really can be much more powerful in your work.
Well, yeah, and I think it's always critical to say not just only where we're trying to go, but the strategy is really about how we're going to get there. And then, you know, from there, the next logical step, obviously, is the plan, which, you know, in many ways, I think is the most difficult part because that really lays out where the rubber meets the road. What do you think is critical for any kind of a compliance planning process?
I think that the most important thing is to really, you know, set out your time frame, figure out what it's going to be. And look, I know this is difficult. The second book that I wrote, The Wildly Strategic Compliance Officer Handbook Workbook, it has these kind of exercises so that you really can put it on paper. I think that's thing number one. You want it written down, because if it's just in your head, it's really subject to change. I found that 3 years was a really good amount of time to look out to. Because I think it's enough that it's far enough away, but it's not so close that you don't have a chance to make those big leaps that you need to make in that time frame. So I think writing it down is critical. I think having measurable goals is also incredibly critical. You don't want something like improve culture. Well, what does that mean, right? Like, how do we measure improve culture? Maybe you measure it by your engagement survey. Maybe you have a compliance and ethics portion of your audit reports and you can see how different metrics have changed. But you need it to be measurable in some specific way so that you can tell if you achieved it or not. You can also tell other people if you achieved it or not, if you lay out how you're going to measure whether or not you get there. I think it's critically important to do that.
And then when it comes to putting this together, I mean, you talk about communicating with others and so forth. Who do you think should be involved in the planning process beyond, obviously, the compliance team?
Right. Well, I think that depends really on how your organization is set up. So let's say that there are certain elements like in your governance section that you want internal audit to take on some compliance-oriented elements, like to look at some of the gifts and hospitality receipts to make sure that people are actually turning in when they've taken out government officials or something like that. I think that HR, let's say HR does most of the investigations, but if they come through the whistleblower hotline, then you're co-responsible. I think that you need to, when you're devising your goals and strategy, talk to those other stakeholders to make sure you're in alignment on how you're going to approach these problems. But in my experience, the best thing that you can do is to have your vision, have your strategy laid out on paper, on your PowerPoint, give it to your board or your C-suite and say, this is what I see as our priorities. Do you agree? Because the C-suite and board have likely not spent any time at all thinking about what your compliance program should be. So being able to let them see your vision and tweak it has been, in my experience, the best and most effective way to have that communication, have that buy-in. They've always tweaked it. I've never had a board meeting where I went in and said, look, this is it, and they all went, fabulous. They all go, I'm not sure about that. Let's change this. I like this better. We don't have budget for that. We do have budget for this. So that starts the communication, but if you don't present something, it's very hard for them to say in a vacuum what they want.
And what's your feeling about the role, you know, you talk about HR, internal audit, what about getting the business unit, someone from there involved in the planning process?
I think maybe it works for some other people. Unless you have a specific problem that you're solving with the business unit, I have found that that's not particularly useful. Maybe if you're going to do a due diligence project or something where you're going to be reaching out to the business and saying, I need your help getting our third party information, then I think it's really useful to pull them in. But in terms of general strategy, I think they're less helpful than if you have a specific project or need where you're going to be, you know, asking them to do a train the trainer model or asking them for third-party due diligence help. In my experience, when you ask the business for something specific, it can be really effective. If you ask them to, you know, help with culture, that's sometimes worse than not asking because they don't know what to do with it and are less, are more reluctant next time to say yes.
Good counsel. All right. So last question. The goals were set, the strategies laid out, the plan was made, it's been carried out or started. When's the best time to look and say, okay, am I getting where I want to be? Do you think that should be done annually, every 3 years as part of a planning process? You know, when's the right time to stop, pause, and look back?
I mean, I think personally, I found that using a compliance dashboard, which tracks every month in bullet point format what I've accomplished towards my goals, is the most effective way because it keeps me on track. In terms of setting, I think annual goals are incredibly important and very useful. They follow the business cycle. They can respond to new laws that are coming in the next year. And I think renewing your three-year plan, maybe every 2 years, just to make sure it's looking right, it's looking fresh. That's the rhythm that works for me. I think that the biggest trouble is people set goals in January or in December and never look at them again until November the following year. So the more that you can piece down your big goals into little bite-sized chunks, and the more that you can celebrate, you know what? I'm going to do 12 trainings this year. I've already done 3. It's March. I'm completely on track. The more likely you are to actually finish your goals because you know where you are, you know where you're going, and you're much more likely to get there.
Thank you. This has been a great discussion, and I really appreciate the insights, and I think those listening in will appreciate it. It was certainly wildly effective in my listening, so you've lived true to the brand. So thank you, Christy, for your advice and a thought, and thank all of you for listening. I'm Adam Turtletaub, saying thanks all of you for listening to Compliance Perspectives. Have a very good day.